This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Our guy Neil Greenberg joins the program now. What up, Mr. Greenberg? How do you do, sir?
I'm doing super. How are you all doing?
We're great, man. Brother. We are great. Obviously, a lot going on in the world. I'm curious how much you are kind of rocking, paying attention to all things NFL, free agency, tampering period, blah, blah, blah.
I'm focused on it second most after March Madness. Get my March Madness covers together, but would I come on this show and not be up on the NFL comings and goings? Absolutely not.
I don't think you would, honestly, and I appreciate that. So what? What's been the best move to you so far? It could be league-wide.
I think the Tunsil trade for Washington was really strong. I think they get one of the most valuable left tackles in football. Certainly goes a long way in protecting Jaden Daniels. So I think that was really good. I think the Geno Smith signing was. I'm probably a little bit higher on that than most. I think that could be a decent fit. But I am not being like a local guy here. I do think the Tunsil acquisition was one of the best that we've seen so far.
What is it, just because of him being that left tackle that could be there for some years? Or
yeah, I mean, I think that when you look at, we've talked about this before, right? When you're looking at the teams that are in front of you, like Philadelphia, especially being so good in the trenches, being able to get help on the offensive line is certainly a big move. Obviously, that has a trickle-down effect, protecting Jaden Daniels, also helping out, Deebo Samuel do his thing. A lot of his work is at or behind the line of scrimmage. Not a lot, but a large part of his work is at or behind the line of scrimmage. So being able to, get those type of set pieces moving. I think a protection up front is critical.
I tend to agree with you, man. I think, I find it interesting, and I'm curious if you do, the Commanders' big moves have all been via trade, and I would say even going back to the Lattimore trade at the deadline, I'd say league-wide, there's less and less good, certainly less and less great players getting to free agency, and honestly, even less and less young up-and-coming players getting to free agency. Do you see, the importance of this stage of the offseason kind of changing?
Yeah, because there's a couple of things that are at work here. One, like you said, the NFL is doing a better job of keeping its better players, so you're not having as impactful free agent classes, certainly not having, young, impactful free agent classes. And also, I think, the NFL as an organization collectively have figured out if you win in free agency, you're probably overpaying, right? Because you have to, more likely than not, you have to be the top bidder. So you're paying for services that you may not be able to get a return on in full. So I think the analytics have bared that out for a while. So I think that you have to make you have to be very strategic with what you're doing. And then the third thing is I get the sense from talking to people that this year's draft is not as strong as years past. So using draft capital in a way that gets you a guy like Debo or gets you a guy like Tunsil is beneficial because you're not going to be able to get the same caliber of player in the draft based on what you gave up. So I'm interested to see, you know, what transpires going forward. You know, I will say these two things can be true, right? Washington has done a real good job of upgrading in the offseason, and they still have a lot of work to do to upgrade their team so that they're ready to take the next step.
I agree with that. Yeah. What do you think is top of the list as far as upgrades go?
Well, they need to shore up their run defense. I don't think they've really done much to get the run defense, even to an average level in the NFL. I know, Kinlaw as an interior defenseman is a decent signing. He wasn't a very good run defender, so I don't know how much he's going to help in that regard. They brought in safety Will Harris, who is okay, but is kind of an average coverage guy. So I don't think that they've really done much to improve the defense. But there's still plenty of time. I mean, there's the draft. There's other moves that they can make. And, you know, we may see these guys flourish in a system. That remains to be seen. You know, again, I think you have to give this front office, you know, the benefit of the doubt based on what we've seen so far. And if they're not making moves, it's probably because there aren't moves to make yet that would be an impact acquisition, you know, whether no matter what the route is. So I still think there's a little bit to go, but I would say the defense, you know, looking at the defense, what they lost, what they put in, you know, I think there's some more work to do there.
What type of move, like a defensive move, you think would help that? Like, I mean, they got Kinlaw, and he's whatever he is. Should they have to go after another guy interior, or somebody on the? Do you think somebody that played last year could help out?
I think that now we wait and see what happens in the draft. I'm optimistic that they'll take an edge rusher in the draft at some point early. I think that goes a long way to helping the defense because, you know, again, the quarterback most important position, being able to stop the quarterback, the most important skill on the defense. So they could add some ingredients to that as well. Look, this is a process. I mean, the timeline was bumped up so quickly, and now, you know, we're not really looking at this team as how do they get to the playoffs. We're looking at how do they stay competitive in the NFC title game, right? Yeah. Like that's a big change of, you know, expectations going in. So they not only have to kind of tread water and be as good as they were last year, but they also have to improve because I think it's pretty clear that they're well behind some of the top-tier talent like Philadelphia, Buffalo, Kansas City, et cetera.
Yeah, I think it's interesting. There's a lot of moving parts with this, but I tend to agree with you. You know, if they haven't made a big move yet, it's because they're not entirely sure that there's one to be made. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here on the Rood Guest Hotline. Rood makes the most reliable HVAC products in the DMV. You can follow Greenberg at @ngreenberg. Check out all of his work at the Washington Post. One thing I just try to caution this time of year, like I think the declaration of winners and losers is incredibly premature, and I think people would be way better off just waiting to draw any conclusions whatsoever. You know, if you want to definitively say Jeremy Chinn's better than Will Harris, I think last year that's accurate. I think over the course of their careers, you could have a real debate. If you want to definitively say that John Allen's career has been better than Javon Kinlaw's, I think that's accurate. Allen's been the better player over the course of his career. But last year, Allen only played 5 regular season games. So I just think you can slice these apples up a lot of different ways and to your earlier point, I think it's entirely possible Quinn Peters have a vision for guys. This is kind of their first offseason where they have inherited less and they get to decide more. Last year, they kind of took over and had what they had. This year, they're making their own decisions.
Right, and they've also shown an ability to bring guys in, coach them up, and make them very valuable pieces of the puzzle. So who's to say that Will Harris can't have a career year, right? Like, I mean, that's certainly within the realm of outcomes, and the same thing with Kinlaw. Like, who's to say he can improve and make an impact in run defense, depending on how they use him and how they teach him, et cetera. And I agree with you. I mean, the winners and losers thing, it's all subjective, right? Like,
it's the content
we don't
machine,
know
dude.
What's going to happen. And even analytically, like, you can very well take the number one covered safety from one team, put him on another team, and he could very well end the year at number 30,
yeah.
Right? And just because of how he's used, who he's playing against, et cetera. So we won't know until we know. I think that the front office, the organization, has earned the benefit of the doubt, and this team will be improved in a lot of ways heading into game one of the regular season. Whether that's going to be enough, we'll have to find out, because there's still plenty of moves to make, plenty of time. But I do think that the areas that can be improved, as we've seen with Deebo Samuel and the offensive line, et cetera, will be improved to the best of their ability, and how far that takes them will remain to be seen.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here. Greenberg, I obviously, NFL is the focus of the day. We've been all NFL all day. But there's enough other stuff I want to make sure I get to with you. Let's start with hockey. Caps dropped 7 on Anaheim last night. Ovi passes up an empty netter to make the extra pass to Protas so that he can get his first hat trick, which is really pretty damn cool. Where are we at with the Caps? Where are we at with Ovi?
So I have the most likely games for Ovechkin to be April 4th and April 10th. Those are both home games. And then also April 2nd at the Carolina Hurricanes. I still do think that March 30th and April 1st games against Buffalo and Boston, respectively, are also among the most likely for it to happen. I think it's great what Ovechkin did. I mean, there's a lot of knocks on him as a player, and a lot of people are saying he's padding his stats with the empty netters, which Gretzky did also. But, to pass up a goal at this point when you're so close, because your superstar youngster can get his first hat trick, I think, just says a lot of Ovechkin as a teammate, as a person, et cetera. This is just a great story for the Washington Capitals from the beginning of the year. I mean, they are a legit contender. They're fun to watch. They have a lot of neat stuff happening. And I do think Ovechkin breaks the record here. He's the consummate teammate, and he has been for forever. And you want as many of him as possible, not because he's the greatest goal scorer, but because of everything else he does, on and off the ice. I mean, he is the quintessential player that you want in your franchise.
Absolutely. And how are we feeling? I mean, we're so focused on Ovi right now that, like, I almost go back and remind myself of the standings, because they are just kicking everyone's ass at such a thorough pace. Like, I mean, they had that little – they lost 3 in a row and then had to kind of rally for some overtime wins. They have 94 points. They are 11 clear of the Panthers in the Metro – in the Eastern, and they're 12 clear of the Hurricanes in the division. Like – who are they going to play in the first round? Is it tracking to be the Rangers?
It might be, because that's usually what happens in the playoffs, right?
I know, dude. This is a
really good team, and it's a team that isn't like the fun and gun team from the Bruce Boudreau era. It's not the grinded out team from the Hunter Oates era. I mean, this is a good all around hockey team that can win in a bunch of different ways. and they have a lot of talent. And, you know, if a team wants to, you know, kind of focus on stopping Ovechkin, that's certainly fine. But, you know, you also got to stop Tom Wilson and Protas and McMichael and Strom. And, you know, you just have a lot of stuff that's happening in that lineup. And I think that's really the key. I mean, Ovechkin, amazing, right? Yeah. But he is still just a piece of the puzzle that skates, you know, 17 minutes a night.
Right.
And it really, you know, you got to tip your cap to the coaching staff, but also the players for, you know, really stepping up and making this more than a one-trick pony team, right? I mean, this is a team that has depth and ability up and down the lineup, in net, behind the blue line, et cetera. This is a scary team, and it's going to be, you know, it's going to be a scary matchup for anybody once the playoffs start.
So I know, you look at this, you see them scoring seven goals, you go, Ovi had to have at least two.
Right, that's the thing, right? Like, you know, what would your bet be if someone told you to cap score seven? You know, you'd almost take it as a lock that Ovechkin had at least one, if not two. But the fact that they can do that and he's giving up goals, like literally giving up goals, you know, tells you a lot.
My research appears if the season ended today, and it doesn't, the Caps would play Columbus in the first round. But there's a whole bunch of teams kind of fighting for that last wild card spot. Columbus, Montreal, New York, the Bruins. So we'll wait and see on that. All right, Greenberg, last thing for me. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg via the Rude Guest Hotline. Let's make some money. Give me now it's conference championship week. I think ACC started yesterday. Big Ten probably starts today. I imagine all the big boys, SEC starts today because they all have 800 teams in their conferences. Where do we have some winners? What do we like?
Okay, you ready? I like the women's Texas Longhorns to win the championship.
The women's to win the whole NCAA title.
Under the NCAA title on the women's side, yep, I think that they are undervalued in that regard.
Is it Texas A&M?
Texas Longhorns.
Okay. And I also, if you're looking for value in, like, the ACC tournament, I think Louisville is an interesting pick. I know Duke is the overwhelming favorite, and that's fine. I do like Louisville as kind of someone else. And then the SEC, I am fading a lot of these teams. I like Florida to win the SEC, but in the tournament, I'm going to be fading like Alabama, Kentucky, Missouri, Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Like, I'm fading all of them. I know there's going to be a lot of SEC tournament teams in the big dance. I'm fading them. I think, though, if you're looking for value in that conference, I think Florida might be a pick to look at.
Now, Greenberg, are you aware of our guy, White Bryan, a very proud Auburn Tigers alum?
Yeah.
You did not mention Auburn.
I am. And let me say it again. Fade the SEC.
Direct
I think
shot.
That they're going to have a letdown in the big dance. Ooh. Nothing personal.
Okay, but it's just business.
There's going to be no roar in that tiger.
Oh, I love that line. Am I allowed to use that next week or whenever?
Of course.
Okay, thank you.
Of course.
What about the Turtles, Friday night, Big Ten tourney?
I've said this before. I'm a big Maryland fan. I think that they're one of these teams that could have a deep run in the tournament. I think right now they're a 4 seed, so they may not sneak up on a lot of people. But I think that Maryland is certainly a team that I'm looking at right now to pencil in to the Elite Eight.
JP will lose his mind.
Yo,
we won't be able to deal with him, man.
I made it clear. if they get to the Sweet 16, I'm going. I assume for work purposes. If they get to the Sweet 16 and they're playing Duke in New Jersey, I'm not going for work purposes. I'm going full college JP, everything I got. I'm gonna be booing people. I'm going to be yelling bleep you at people. It's going to be everything I got, Greenberg.
Well, I think – I've said this before. I like the Terps. I think they're sneaky good.
Their guards are going to go under the radar. Their guards are good.
Yeah, I think Maryland could do some stuff in the tournament.
Now, didn't you win your overall post-predictions thing last year? Don't I remember that right?
Two years. years ago.
2 years ago.
I did, because I had San Diego State in the final. Everyone thought I was nutso.
That's wild. They got there, and they got their
ass
kicked.
Of course they got there. Last year was chalky. Like, I don't really do well in chalky tournaments because I take risks, like calculated risks. But usually if there's a chalky tournament, the next year it has a lot more madness to it. So I'm pretty hopeful that I can. We'll talk about it next week, but I got some things in the works.
All right, give me the madness. Thank you, Greenberg. Appreciate your time, bud.
All right, love you guys. Talk
to
you soon.
Take care, Green.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow at @ngreenberg. Thank you for joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. But it's fun talking to Greenberg this time of year because he's all about not necessarily long shots, but getting a little more value for your money. And if you're looking at who's going to be cutting down the nets this March, get in on all the tournament action at ESPN Bet Sportsbook. Fading the SEC is a hell of an idea when we get to next week in the NCAA tournament. I also really like that Texas Longhorns women's bet because everybody's going to be thinking it's South Carolina. A lot of good teams out there. And honestly, there's action right now with all these conference tournaments. You got plenty tonight if you're looking. Richmond Davidson. ACC's heating up in earnest. Virginia. UVA Georgia Tech is today. South Carolina Arkansas. That means Coach Calipari's coaching. 1 o'clock on Wednesday in the SEC tournament. Coach Cal ain't really used to that time slot, man. Notre Dame, Carolina this afternoon. Carolina is not a tournament team. Let me be clear about that. Minnesota, Northwestern tonight. I mean, the big boys are heating up. Ohio State, Iowa. I don't know if either of those teams have a chance to get in, but if they do, they need a win. The Hoyas, their only chance for an NCAA tournament is to win the Big East tourney. That begins today. They are 4.5-point favorites over DePaul. DePaul stinks. You like to think the Hoyas can at least win that one. And then B-Mitch, a classic ACC rivalry tonight. Stanford versus Cal. The tree versus the Bears. I mean, everybody's thinking ACC when they watch that. Maybe you like Cal to pull off the upset. Plus 240. Whatever it is you're looking for, ESPN Bet has you covered. Plus, you bet $20 on the team you think's going to win it all. And if they do, you'll win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. That's awesome. You could also receive $10 in bonus bets for every win your team has in the tournament. Download the ESPN Bet Sportsbook app to get started today. Make sure you're checking out Maryland and Virginia. Odds and lines are subject to change. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Your boy's on top of stuff today. In about 10 minutes, we're giving away Wiz tickets. It's going to be fun. In about an hour and 10 minutes, we're giving away concert tickets. Dropkick Murphys. It's their time of year. If you're into Dropkick Murphys, you like to see them in March. That's the vibe. The Wiz tickets are against the Magic. So if you're into Mickey Mouse or Paolo Banchero, you want to see that game. In about 25 minutes, Ed Werder will join us. Everybody remembers Werder from ESPN. It's going to be a lot of fun. Some shout-outs to handle here. My boy, Dr. Espinel, driving from D.C. to Olney, listening to the program. Appreciate you, Doc. Brian, I hate this news. I have long thought that Tiger Woods' competitive golf era was kind of over. Like, real competing for majors, whatever it is. But I have enjoyed him just in this TGL stuff, which people have different opinions on. I've enjoyed it, man. It's something to watch. It's something to watch.
I like it.
In the season where there's nothing to watch. If you put TGL on during football season, probably not watching. But TGL in February, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the shot clock. I kind of wish the PGA would have a shot clock, but Tiger
it supposedly has one.
Yeah, that's true. You know, it doesn't get called very often.
Yeah.
Tiger announced that he ruptured his Achilles. And
what do you think he was doing? Like, I've been trying to sit here and think. He said he had ramped up his training as he started to get ready. What the hell was he doing to rupture his Achilles?
I don't know.
I know Charlie Caster was just walking and he ruptured his. He wasn't doing nothing, like serious. So it could happen at any time.
Aunt Yang ruptured hers playing pickleball.
But all of the other injuries he's had, does that, could that be just a factor where it got super, super tight? And
I think there is so much that has happened with Tiger's lower half. Or hell, his back too. But the amount of injuries sustained on that dude and the amount of training he did as a younger guy and the torque he put on his body, the way he swung. I mean, there's so much to try to
figure this out.
But B, I do think there's another part of this. I think he tries to maintain, whether it's swing speed or just, I mean, he's jacked, right? Like all the things he tries to maintain. He turns 50 this New Year's.
Yeah.
I think it's over for him as a competitive golfer. You think Tiger ever goes to the senior tour? I don't.
No. He doesn't have to go to the senior tour. That's the whole thing about it.
A lot of those dudes grind out the cash.
Yeah.
But it's also, I think those, you telling me, what's my man from Germany's name that just wins every tournament with the long putter? Won a Masters.
I know who you're talking about.
Longer.
Bernard, yeah.
Longer enjoys that stuff.
He enjoys it, but
Ernie Els is out there.
Did you ever hear Bernard Longer when he was playing on the other tour?
Yo, he won a Masters. He was good.
But I think most of his stuff has come, since he left, he wins like every other week.
Sure. But I think there was a time where I thought Phil would actually go on the senior tour. I think now with Liv and everything else, I don't know if that's happening. I'm honestly asking this. I don't know if you saw this book. I just started. It's like old school master stuff, Jack and Arnie. I don't know this. Did Nicholas ever play on the senior tour?
Not that I know of.
I could see maybe the senior majors, right? You play in the U.S. Senior Open or something.
I don't recall it.
I
don't know either, so.
I don't think Nicholas would have ever been grinding out the senior KitchenAid championship in Toledo, Ohio. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I definitely don't think Tiger is. And at this point, I don't think. It just makes me sad because I was enjoying him in TGL. I loved the clip a couple weeks ago. Did you see the clip of him and his daughter's soccer game? And they won the game and he just went nuts in the crowd. Like. It seems like whatever happened in Tiger's life, I could kind of understand it, at least from afar. Like, yeah, of course he kind of had some demons and went crazy. He was arguably the most famous man on the planet for a while.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's hard to live with that spotlight.
And he's been doing that since he was a damn kid.
Right.
When he was, 3 years old, he went on someone's TV show. So it's been like that the whole time. And a lot of times when you put kids' mindset on one thing and they can't do anything else, there's something else in there.
Well, I agree. It felt to me, and I am nothing but an observer on the outside, that Tiger had finally settled into just kind of, he's a dad, he's golfing when he can, he's got a million business interests and all of these things, but like his main focus seemed to be the kids and he seemed happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was just happy for him.
Well, he could just continue that.
Yeah, but a ruptured Achilles sucks, man.
It does. But, you know, one thing about it, you need to be someone who knows how to grind it out to get things back healthy. Well, we know that dude knows how to do it. He'll be focused. He'll get his stuff and walk. Because you watch him, the way he was walking since he's had that accident, I've always felt that
a little funky.
He was carrying, like favoring, and that's when the injuries start to happen.
Agreed.
So,
this is bizarre. We mentioned Bernard Longer.
Uh-huh.
He, according to DC Sports Messiah, he recently ruptured his Achilles also.
Wow.
It's just odd. Random one senior golfer we brought up. They are going to have the senior.
But he's a workout nut as well.
Not like Gary Player, dog. Now,
Gary Player's what? Gary Player damn near 80-something, and that dude's still fit, man.
Yo, fit.
That dude is fit.
I wonder, they're having the U.S. Senior PGA Championship at Congressional in May, I think. Does Gary Player still play in that?
Nah, he don't still play. He shows up a lot. I don't think he plays anymore.
Who's the favorite? White Brian, see if you track those numbers down for me. But I did want to wish somebody a happy birthday.
Ooh.
Guess. Somebody you know. Somebody you made mention of this week.
Bro, I know so many damn people.
Somebody, it's Wednesday at 11:42. You mentioned this person to me yesterday, I think.
Pete?
No.
Yesterday?
I think yesterday.
Male or female?
Male. Played for the Burgundy and Gold.
Played for the Burgundy and Gold?
Famous for the Burgundy and Gold. Super Bowl at his position to win a certain award.
Mark Mosley.
Mark Mosley. Happy birthday to Mark Mosley.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw it. I actually mentioned his birthday was coming up.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you just mentioned it. Coming up at noon, Ed Werder joins the program. All right, folks, caller number 10. Right now, you win two tickets to see the Washington Wizards. Friday, March 21st against Orlando. The Wizards are celebrating Women's Night, presented by GDIT. Fans are invited to hang out post-game for all the Friday night concert series, the final performance of the season, presented by Sprite, featuring DJ Diesel, a.k.a. Shaq. Jeff, you going to Women's Night with Shaq there? Sounds right up your alley, dog.
Nah, I got something to do that day.
What do you got to do that day?
Not putting it all over the air, JP.
White Brian's married. I think Heavy Metal Chris is married. B, you want to go to Women's Night with Shaq there?
No.
Just saying. Look but don't touch, Jeff. That's the rule. Caller number 10 right now, 800-636-1067. You win a pair of tickets to go see the Wiz take on the Magic. It's Women's Night, Ladies Night, presented by GDIT. Fans are invited to hang out post-game. Yo, is Shaq that good of a DJ that he gets to play?
Shaq gets it in, dog.
I remember when he was Shaq rapping with Foo Schnickens.
I went to, New Orleans. Not right. New Orleans, in Arizona.
You went to Shaq's Funhouse.
Yeah, he was DJing, too.
I flew home.
Yeah.
Good for Shaq. I never would have known that. That's a fun game, though. I've been to two of those concerts, like when the concert comes on after the basketball game, and they do a really good job of turning it over pretty quickly. Like, it's probably like a 20-minute delay from the end of the game, but it's a lot of fun. They let everybody kind of come down in the lower bowl, or at least when I've been. Maybe this will be a bigger crowd, so I don't want to say definitively one way or the other. But it was a lot of fun, dude. I think, B. Mitch, as we inch closer and closer to the new league year starting up this afternoon.
Yeah.
It's
What's the exact time?
4 o'clock.
4 o'clock.
Are you surprised at all how the Vikings have gone from letting Darnold walk and now going kind of all in? The Vikes have spent a lot with knowing they have McCarthy on a rookie contract.
I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all, because they were close, man. And when they decided to let Kirk go, I think they already had a plan and they felt things could happen.
2 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm saying once they let him go, they felt things could happen.
Well, dude, if you go back and look at it now, the reports were, and I wasn't in the room, but I believe these reports, Minnesota wasn't trying to let Kirk go. They were only just going to guarantee 1 year. And Kirk...
Well, like you said, Jay, when you start telling people about their money, you're basically telling them you don't want them.
No, they were giving him a new deal, guaranteed 1 year. He said, I want both years guaranteed.
Yeah.
And they said, all right, well, good luck. Atlanta did it. In hindsight, who do you think's happier about their decision? Minnesota.
Minnesota's happy. Atlanta's happy, too, because they let him go, too. he's since left.
No, he's still on the books. He's gonna be gone. Yeah, but he's gonna one from a salary cap standpoint. Kirk's gonna mess Atlanta up. Two, I'm still not entirely sure how that's all gonna shake out. Right now, Atlanta only has about $6 million in cap space. Kirk's sitting at the top with $28 million guaranteed and a $40 million cap number this year.
Uh-huh.
If they give him a post June 1 cut, which is the best they can do. They have no cap savings and a $40 million dead money hit. So Atlanta,
they don't go back to Kirk?
Atlanta more and more, the fact that they haven't cut him yet, so you've already stunted at least free agency, right? Because this stuff's been going on for 2 days. He's a veteran. You could have cut him last week and let him start negotiating whatever he wanted. They haven't done any of that. I think there's a reasonable, yo, are they keeping Kirk around to be Penix's backup? Or are they keeping Kirk around? You get to August, the dudes start getting hurt. Then all of a sudden, Kirk has value. Maybe you get a third or a fourth.
I would think that's more of the reason in not to be his backup. You're not going to have a dude making that much money being somebody's backup.
You know who can't be loving it?
Who?
Kirk.
Kirk likes to get paid, man. He don't care.
Yeah, but you don't think he'd rather be calling his own shots right now knowing he's not the starter there?
Man. He probably want to be, but hey.
I think Minnesota's well run. I think they made the right call there.
Everybody gets to the point where they no longer call their shots.
I also think, especially now, maybe there was a slight window, but if you're acquiring Kirk, and this is what Atlanta did, you're acquiring a player that gives you stability at the quarterback position.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think he's a championship caliber player, right?
No.
And at some point, like, that's what
it stops the stability.
It's what Ron did here. Like, it got to a point where it was kind of obvious that championships weren't the goal, and it was like, let's just be pretty good, and maybe we get into the playoffs, and, I don't know. I think...
Be happy.
Washington has found a North Star in that they're back in the championship conversation. We're checking in with the Dallas Cowboys and all over the NFL when we return. Ed Werder joins the program.